having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian. You must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an emissary. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to bear on the earth.
Welcome to Church on a Mission with Pastor Caris E. Anewelf.
Come on, shout now. Shout like you are here. Hallelujah. You know, I always like to emphasize or to say that shouting will never be youthful exuberance. Amen. A Christian who knows how to shout will always find a way around it. In shouting in faith now, we bring down mountains. Amen. Amen. We cause walls to fall. And you know, when we quote the Psalms and say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, it's good for you to know that God in you, in the New Testament, doesn't arise from heaven and he doesn't arise by himself. There are things you do to make God arise. Amen. Amen. There are things you do to make him arise. So he rises strong in you when you shout. Remember, the psalmist says, the Lord shall go up with a shout. With a shout. With a shout. He goes up at the sound of the trumpet. And he ascends with a shout. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a shout one more time? Amen. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Some people are not shouting. Amen. All right, I'll be looking around. Can you give the Lord a shout from your heart? Glory to God. It's amazing. You don't pay money to shout. You don't pay money to shout glory. And you see, the Bible says in the sanctuary, all shout glory. But it's amazing how the devil sits on people's mouths not to do the simplest things that will bring promotion. It's true. Glory to God. Amen. It's amazing how in the congregation of God's people, you show them from the Bible, this is what the Bible says, let's do it. And it's as though something is hindering them. I've told you, anything that makes your mouth heavy to declare God's word, to sing aloud, to shout, is against your destiny. Why? The Christian experience is connected to your tongue. Either in speakings of faith, in singings, in laughing, in shoutings, in praise. It's connected to your mouth. Do you know it took your mouth for you to get saved? You had to confess him as Lord to get saved. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. But it's not enough to be catapulted into the experience of salvation. He says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Before they say that, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, verse 9, Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You shall be saved. Amen. So he shows us how to get saved. Meaning salvation is connected to the mouth. And by extension, the experience of salvation or the things that accompany salvation. Oh, come on now. The things that accompany salvation are connected to the use of the mouth. It's simple enough. If you understand this, you enjoy Christianity. Salvation, the greatest miracle, happened by you saying something. And the Lord is saying through his word that the same way you got saved, continue therein. Amen. Meaning, your experiences with God, your journey with God on the earth, your adventure on the earth as a believer has a lot to do with your mouth. A lot to do with your mouth. Never forget that. A lot to do with your mouth. You know, on Tuesday, I'll tell you about a man of God, a precious man of God, who got sick, who had serious symptoms in his body and kept talking. He kept talking. And he says, as long as I can talk, I don't need drugs. Amen. He kept declaring, I'm healed. I'm the healed of the Lord. The Spirit, He that raised up Jesus dwells in me. He that raised up Christ from the dead gives life to my mortal body. I've been baptized into Christ. I've put on Christ. Amen. Declaring God's word, sickness has no power over my body. You know, I told you that sometimes when you start declaring, there may not be manifestations immediately, but don't give up. Things are happening in the unseen realm. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, nothing happened on the outside that day. But the Bible says the next day when they came, they saw that the fig tree has withered. Ah, they say, Master, the fig tree that you caused has withered. From where? From the root. Oh, meaning the moment Jesus spoke, things are happening in the root. But you know what? You don't see the root on the outside. Probably they didn't believe, but Jesus knew that the transaction had happened. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he kept talking and talking and talking until he got so weak he couldn't talk anymore. That didn't mean his faith wasn't working. But he said something very funny and we laughed about it. He wrote in a book, he said, carry me to the hospital, I can't talk. They took him to the hospital, put some drips, put some things on his body, he regained his strength. The moment he started talking, he put him out, he said, I'm going home, I can't talk now. Hallelujah. He understood the power. You know, to the carnal Christian, he says, is that not foolishness? Is that foolishness?
He's alive.
He's alive, amen, like that. Plug it up and get out of us. We say, thank you very much for giving me some strength to be able to talk. As long as I can still talk, this body will be in health.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God forevermore. So shout one more time. Glory to God. All right. Matthew's Gospel 28:18-20. Church on a mission. Hasn't been a blessing to you? We've been giving introduction. Glory to God. So we'll journey a little further today. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, this is your master talking. When you read the Bible, you have to understand who is talking and who he's talking to. This is Jesus talking to you. He was talking to the disciples at this point, but now he's talking to you. The disciples have joined a cloud of witnesses in heaven. Amen. So this is addressed to every believer. In case you are not sure you are called, this is the statement of your calling. Oh, come on now. This is your mission statement. This is your commissioning. Glory to God. He came and says, all hail, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Only Jesus speaks like that. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, this is in agreement what Paul said in Ephesians 1, rather. He says, God has exalted him above all principalities and powers, all thrones, all dominion, everything that can be named, both in this world and in the world to come. Jesus knew it before Paul said it. He says, all power in heaven, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now, here's the point. What followed after then is important. He says, go ye therefore. You have to understand that. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. That's the next verse now. Go, verse 19. Go ye therefore. What is he saying? On account of this authority, you can go. Oh, is this church alive this morning? On account of this authority, you can go. When we talk about the mission of the believer on the earth, the mission of the church, we are not by ourselves. We were sent. We were given authority. We were given authority on account of this authority. Go ye therefore. That's what he's saying. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And teach all nations. Listen, the church is not a religious setup. The church is a governmental setup. That means the church was installed on the earth for government. You didn't get that? Remember that scripture I showed you last week, Matthew 16:18-19, when he says, upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The next verse talks about the authority. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Authority is to show us that the church is governmental. He introduced, that was the first time the word church was mentioned in the New Testament, and it came with an introduction of authority and government. Do you understand? You need to have that at the back of your mind as we proceed. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore, go on account of this authority. So you have to know that you are sent. You may not be on the pulpit. You may not be a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist. But as a Christian, you're a man on a mission. You're a woman on a mission. Hallelujah. Here we believe in the diversities of God's calling. We believe that every believer has a ministry. So wherever God has planted you, you must know that you were commissioned there. You were sent there. You are given authority. He says all power in heaven. So if you are in the oil sector, it's part of the earth. And authority over that place was given to Jesus. And he says, go ye therefore. Is somebody following me? You are in the health sector. The authority that was given to you covers that place. Hallelujah. Very important. It's not the religious setup. We'll talk about the orientation of the church very soon. It's not the religious setup. It's the body endued with authority. Called out and sent. Called out and sent. Listen, if every Christian will have the sense and the consciousness of the calling of God, and a sense of mission on the earth, we would have more impact in this city. I say that again. If every believer will have a sense or a consciousness of God's call upon his or her life, and you know that I am called of God, authorized to act on his behalf, we'll have more impact. The Christian who is in the bank thinks he's there to get salary. The Christian who is a medical doctor thinks he's there. A nurse, the health sector thinks he's there so that he can have a big salary. He doesn't see himself as one called and commissioned to act on God's behalf in that place. The man in ICT thinks he's just there to make money. Boy, he's a Christian. He makes money just to pay tithe to church and comes to church with his family on Sunday morning. To appease his religious conscience. Why? He doesn't know the orientation of the church. He thinks the church is a religious setup. It's not. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations. Meaning, go and make students of the nations. Make students of the nations. Hallelujah. I believe it was last week we explained nation there. What is the word again? Who remembers? What's the word again? Ethnos. Ethnos. So when he uses nation there, is the Greek word ethnos. 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 You know, there are three Greek words that they use for world, nations, earth, and world. One is aeon. That one means ages. One in cosmos. Cosmos talks about the physical structures, all right, in the earth. And then this ethnos. I told us last week that we have to understand the meaning of this word, the concept of this word, the concept of ethnos. That understanding will equip every believer under the sound of my voice to carry out ministry effectively. It says, go and teach all nations. You know, when you read this, and you have a traditional understanding, you will exclude yourself. That's the truth. An average Christian reading this without understanding will exclude himself. Unconsciously. Go and teach all nations. Says he must be talking to the apostles. Go and teach all nations. So he really says he's talking to Pastor Caris. Go and teach all nations. Says he must be speaking to an evangelist somewhere. Why? Because of that understanding. Why? When we see nations, the traditional understanding is macro nations. All right? So we talk about Switzerland, Ghana, Nigeria. And by the way, Nigeria is not a nation. Nigeria doesn't pass for nationhood. Amen. That's for another day. Glory to God. That's the truth. Nigeria doesn't pass for nation. We're a country. Amen. Not a nation. I am very serious. A country made up of many nations.
Yes, sir.
Because there are things, listen, there are things that define a nation state. Do you understand? Let me not go into all that. Go and teach all nations. So the traditional understanding is macro nation. Ghana, the Birom Nation, Switzerland, amen, Australia, Brazil. So someone is in Jos and is thinking, I'm just a lecturer at University of Jos. And God is saying, go and teach all nations. Maybe I should volunteer on a mission trip. Well, that is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the elementary, the primary import, meaning of that verse. Teach all nations. Make students of the nations. All right, so we began to break it down. We said, nation, there is a Greek word, ethnos. And it means a group or a multitude of men and women who are related or associated or connected by common interests. Who remembers? Culture and language. Did you get that? And by language, not necessarily human language. When you go to the world of sports, there's a language. When you go to the world of fashion, there's a language. When you go to the world of ICT, there's a language. You remember your register class in English? English registers. How many remember in high school, secondary school? There's a language. So when lawyers talk and they don't want you to understand what they are saying, they use certain words. Is somebody following me? And it's for real. It's for real. The same thing when medical people talk. In fact, they can communicate, back in med school, we can communicate simple things in our language. In esoteric language, as it were. Just basically. Now I'm tempted to say word loud. Just basic thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why is a nation? It's a nation. Everybody has a nation. You have an ethnos. You have an ethnos. And also that ethnos includes geographical nation. Neighborhoods that have certain things in common. So when you understand this, you will know that there is a calling on your life and there is a commissioning and there is something you can do. So the first thing, you identify your nation. Where is my ethnos? If you see that one thing, you will know that you have an ethnos. For a student who is still in school, that university environment or polytechnic environment is an ethnos. Why? Common interest, language, culture. There's a way students behave. There's a common interest. You went there to get knowledge. So when he says, go ye therefore and teach all ethnos, make students of the ethnos, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that is the name of Jesus. Amen. Watch that verse closely. It is in the names of the Father, of the Son. And so he's talking about one name. The Father answers to the name of Jesus. Oh, are you guys here this morning? The Father answers to the name of Jesus. The Son answers to the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. No, he's there now. Baptizing them in the name. Did he say in the names? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's one name. That's the name of Jesus. So that's why I see us when we baptize. We say we baptize you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's one name. All right, next verse, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, of the aeon, of the age, of the dispensation. Hallelujah. Can you see the promise of his presence? So you identify and then begin to plan on how to teach your ethnos, your neighbors, your world, your sphere. Again, that's what we call your sphere. Your sphere of influence. Your world. You must take the gospel to your world. Hallelujah. You must take the gospel to your world. And it begins by taking responsibility for your world. That's the next step. Do you know that responsibility is a sign of growth and the price of greatness? a very important sign of growth. Meaning real Christian growth is reflected in taking responsibility. You take responsibility for your ethnos. There are Christians who just complain, this hospital, nothing just works. This place, things are not working. Let me just go and live here. Maybe I should find myself another job. Or let me just relocate. You are dodging responsibility. Who knows you were planted there for such a time as this? Can you remember the words of Mordecai to Esther? Who knows if the Lord has planted you here for such a time as this? Take responsibility for your world. Tap your neighbor and say, take responsibility for your world. His students on campus, he say, oh, this campus, things are not working anymore. There are cultists everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There are cultists everywhere. They've stopped us from having stop you from having fellowship. You are not serious. Don't forget we went to school too. And we saw things in a measure. Oh, by taking responsibility. I have many stories for you. You take responsibility for your world. You tell yourself things will be different in this place because I'm here. Do you know you can remove your deen?
Yes, sir.
Oh God. As a student, do you know you can remove the deen?
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on now. Do you know you can remove the VC?
Yes, sir.
You pluck him off on your knees. You join your hands with people, with your brethren, and say no more. We're talking about taking responsibility for your world. Glory to God. Take responsibility for your world. You are in an office and things are not working. Think about this. Maybe God planted you there for such a time as this. There's something you can do. Hallelujah. You are there to make him known. Give me Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. Let me show you something. Paul. We'll talk about Paul the great apostle. Why were these men different? They took responsibility for their world. Oh, they did. They did. Paul was preaching to the Gentiles in Acts 13 or 16. And when they objected, and the Jews rather, he was preaching to the Jews, and he said something that touches me every time I read it. He says, since you have rejected the word of God and considered yourself unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles. For thus has the Lord commanded us, I have given you as a light to the nations and for salvation to the ends of the earth. Look at Paul's thinking. Taking responsibility for your world. So you are not in the fashion industry just to make money. Yes, the money is important. It's going to increase your influence. Very important. Make no mistakes about it. But it's a greater purpose. We'll get there. Look at this. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. No, do you think you are separated from your mother's womb for a purpose? He told Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. Before you were formed, I knew you. Before you were formed, before his conception, and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. The question is, was that only for Jeremiah? Talk to me, church. Do you think that was only for Jeremiah? No, sir. No, ma. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Oh, I thought I was going to get an amen.
Amen.
I don't like a cold church. Hello. Glory to God. Am I boring you? Then could you respond? Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. He placed a calling on your life. It is true for Jeremiah and true for you. Before you were formed, there was something on God's mind. That is the truth. It's not just for Jeremiah. It's not just for Paul. When I saw this many years ago, something was stirred on my inside. Go back to verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, Hey, so I said I was separated from my mother's womb, called by his grace. This applies to every believer. You don't need to be on the pulpit. Look at the next verse. Toraya malige basaya. To reveal his son in me. Hey, to reveal his son in me. Listen, God wants to reveal Christ in you. That's what he's saying. As a makeup artist, he wants to reveal Christ in you. As a lecturer, he wants to reveal Christ in you. That is God's part of this scripture. He said that he wants to reveal his son in me. That's the purpose he separated me from my mother's. He wants to reveal Christ in you. Look at the next thing. Go back, verse 15. We're not done. Look at your part. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me. That is God's part. Look at your part. That I might preach him among the Gentiles. You know, a translation says that I may make him known among the Gentiles, among the heathen. Among the heathen. That's what he's saying. You see, the ministry of every believer is among the heathen. I say that again. The ministry of every believer is among the heathen. So why are you getting intimidated? Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. But you are there to preach him among the wolves, among the heathen, to reveal him, to make him known. I can't remember what translation is that. He said to make him known among the Gentiles, to make him known among the heathen. In that world, you make him known. You make him known. In that fashion world, make him known. Make known. Hallelujah. By demonstrating the love of God, that's the first thing. We bring in the love of God. Write it down. There are three things. Your mission in your ethnos. Bringing the love of God. Bringing in the love of God. Malako Sasha Tabaya. Number two, you bring in the light of the gospel. Number three, you establish the lordship of Christ. I go through it again. What are you to do in among the heathen? What are you to do in your ethnos? What are you to do in your nation, in your sphere of influence? The love of God, bringing in the light of the gospel. Number three, establishing the lordship of Jesus. You bring in the love of God. You bring in the light of the gospel. The Bible said the habitations of the earth are full of, the dark places of the earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. He says, Lord, not the poor and the needy return ashamed. He said, hear their cry. What is it talking about? The gospel is the answer. The gospel is the light that shines. He said, those that dwell in the dark places, light has shone. That's our job. You bring in the light of the gospel into that industry. You bring in the lordship of Jesus. It's in faces. You first bring in the love of God. You bring in the light of the gospel. The love of God will prepare their hearts to receive the light of the gospel. And after receiving the light of the gospel, you don't stop there. You establish the lordship of Jesus. Meaning you bring it. I told you that the church is governmental. It's a governmental setup, not a religious setup. And the government of the church was not meant to be established inside the church building. Oh, Sabaya. Say, Lord, I have understanding. Come and say, Lord, I have understanding this morning. The lordship of Jesus, the governmental ministry of the church is not meant to be exercised within the walls of the church. Out there in the marketplace, we establish the lordship of Jesus. Somebody say, can it be done? Oh, yes, it can be done. At least you are seeing how the church in America is taking back their country. It's not joke. It's not joke. It's serious. And it's very, very deliberate. You know, I've been pained for some days. I've not said it out. Who is the candidate? Who is the church candidate for 2019 presidential election in Nigeria? Who is the church candidate? I'm serious. I'm not joking here. I'm not joking. The person who called the name, did you endorse him? You understand what I mean? During American election, it was clear that Donald Trump was the candidate of the church. Publicly endorsed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And supported with intercession and strategy. I'm not joking. Maybe somebody's saying, is that really necessary? We are waiting for Jesus to come. I don't have anything to say to you today, if you think like that. But let me ask you a question. With what you are saying about the church being governmental and that exercise of the lordship of Christ to the church in the marketplace, don't you think the church should have a candidate? Talk to me, somebody. No, I just want to provoke your thinking. Don't you think the church should have a candidate? One voice with at least, let's say, 70% of the church, not even 100%. You think it's not possible? Hope you know we are majority in this country. Are you aware? Forget the propaganda on the internet. We are majority in this nation. It will amaze you when you begin to search some of these corners and begin to see how many of them are Christians. That's one of the places you call corner that have three local governments, three serious Christian local governments. Call, full. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, I take responsibility for my work. Every sphere, every world, you bring in the love of God. Now, the love of God here is not, you know, when we talk about love, many things go through many minds. Maybe because of the exposure we've had over the years, the visual assaults, so to say. So when we say the love of God, please don't think of Nollywood movie or Hollywood movie. I say, God loves you and the emotional side of love. No, that's what I'm talking about. Love is the nature of God. Love is the power of God. Oh. Love is the vision of God. His best. How does God see you? He sees you through the eyes of love. So in that place, there is a way God sees them. There's a way he sees them. He sees you are seeing a foolish man who doesn't have sense, who is your boss. But through love's eyes, you see differently. Love sees what a person and a place can become. Oh, you are getting there now. That's what we mean by bringing in the love of God. The perspective of God. His ideology, his vision about the people that are there. That's taking responsibility. You are taking responsibility for the social space. You know, broadly speaking, for Christians, we take responsibilities. We have three levels of responsibility. Responsibilities toward God. That's worship and service. Amen. Do you know you are responsible toward God? Amen. Are you aware? Someone said, God, you are just there for us to answer our prayer. That's why you are there. That's not true. When you grow up, you will think differently. No, just like the little lad, he's 4 years old. He thinks his dad exists to buy him toys, candies, amen. When he's going out, he gives his father instruction. He tells his daddy what to do when he's going out. Daddy, buy me that machine gun, please. All right, okay, I'll get you that. Daddy, can I have some candies when you're coming back? All right, can I have some chocolate? So when the daddy is going out, listen to the, watch this. Are you here? When the daddy is going out, the child gives instructions to the daddy. When you grow up, daddy gives you instruction when he's going out. Before I come back, make sure you do this. You, how many of you notice that switch? Is akin to spiritual growth. Amen. Growth is responsibility. So the church has to grow from, oh Lord, my promotion in this office. For 1 month, your prayer point and fasting is promotion in the office. Promotion. You have never thought to carry ministry materials into that office. You never thought to carry pastors' messages and distribute them there. You never thought to share flyers and invite the entire office to church. But 1 month. No, you can see the difference. We can't keep in babies. Do you understand? Remember, the church that Jesus is coming for is not a baby church. It calls it a church without spot and wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. Say, I take responsibility for my ethnos. I bring in the love of God. I bring in the light of the gospel. I establish the lordship of Jesus. So you will not fold your hands and watch things. You know, I was talking with someone recently, and the person told me, you know, there are certain words that, okay, we can avoid using because people think it's metaphysical. I was angry in my spirit. Honestly, to you, I was very angry in my spirit. Listen, we are not higher. The church was not meant to be on the defensive. The church was designed to be on the offensive. You remember that scripture we read last week? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, I believe, in the Message translation. Maybe you put it up. The church was not designed to be apologetic. We are not apologists, we are activists. Kai. I think we should pray in tongues a little this morning so that this word can mix. No, we don't say, when you say imagination, it sounds like metaphysics. So don't put it in. Don't, when you say it's like you are promoting metaphysics, we know it's our own, but they have taken it. What can we really do about it? Stop it. That was the Christianity that drove the church out of the government house. We ran out and Satan ran in. Oh, hallelujah. We are activists. That means we are actively pushing the boundaries of kingdom influence. Actively! So you heard the parastatal, and you have opportunity to bring the gospel in, to bring believers in. Please do it very fast. Don't be speaking English, because the guys in the other side, they don't speak English. They are actively advancing the frontiers of their kingdom. So you see a Christian heading a parastatal, he has no plan for the church. When the other guy comes there, there is a percentage that goes into his agenda, not into his pocket, that goes into the building of their kingdom. Are you aware of what I'm saying? Or you go there, you say, we need to be moderate. You are speaking English. Create a percentage. Do you know there are people I respect? They may not be perfect, but I know governors in this country who pay tithe to church of the state allocation. Yes, at least I know one. And not just to his denomination, he just shares it. I personally believe there is nothing wrong with that. Did you hear what I said? You know, I said something last week. If the local church, the body of Christ, is not feeling the impact of your progress, you are not making progress as a Christian. You are just there for your stomach. And the Bible says, God shall destroy both food and your stomach. He says, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Let Jerusalem come to your mind. Let Jerusalem come to your mind. Let the house of God come to your mind. Let the people of God come to your mind. You know, I like to quickly correct people when they say, you know, our own people, when they go there, this or that, this or that, I say they are not really our people. They carry our Christian names. They have no understanding of the gospel, of the kingdom. You cannot be like that. As you prosper, as your influence expands, don't be too big for the church. Never. Are you following me? Don't be too big for the church. But you see, let's start from where you are now. You know, sometimes we can think about, oh, when the bigger things come, when I become the governor of this state, when I become a senator from my constituency, when my business goes global, when, you understand, when I become the general manager of this company, I'll begin. Start doing something now from where you are. Is the kingdom feeling your impact where you are? Are you investing your time to advance the kingdom? You have time at least where you are. You have some resources where you are. Is the gospel feeling the impact of the resources currently in your hand? Not that time. Now. 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 That's why, listen, for me, any Christian who doesn't give tithe doesn't love God. Amen. Do you understand? That's, I'm talking about those, you understand that you should give tithe. I'm not talking about those who have the theology that you are not supposed to give tithe. Amen. That's another group altogether. Amen. And such people are not here. Amen. Go and listen to the message I preach about tithing. Sometimes it's here. Glory to God. Amen. Your talent. There's something you have that can give advantage to the kingdom of God. The point is, you start from where you are. You start from where you are. Don't be bigger. No, there are some people, they have not seen much yet, but they are bigger than God already. They say, no, I'm not bigger than God, I worship him. Listen, let me tell you something. When you love a woman, there are certain things you do to make the woman know you love her. Talk to me now. That you eat her food is not a proof that you love her. Oh, talk to me now. That you say you love her is not proof. Is somebody here? Anybody on the street can say, I love you. There are things, the same thing with loving God. You act out your love for God. Write it out. Act out your love for God. Act out. So when at this level you already feel too big to contribute your talent, your experience, your time, your creativity for the advancement of God's kingdom in the context of the local church, listen to me. When you get bigger, get prosperous, it will be difficult for you to do it. Do you understand? It will be difficult. Amen. Or you forget to give. Or you said you don't have enough. When you have enough, it will be difficult. Am I talking? Can I get an amen? Amen. Say, I take responsibility for the house of God. For my world, I bring in the love of God, I bring in the light of the gospel, and I establish the lordship of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Shout amen, somebody here this morning. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. Malako Sosho Tokeba. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You now see why prayer is important. You now see why the word of God is important. Because these are tools for you They are tools for you. You cannot just stay, be like that and bring in the love of God, the light of the gospel, or establish the lordship of Jesus. There must be a seriousness, isn't it? Can we just in 1 minute, in 1-2 minutes, just pray in the spirit and in between declare that, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace, strength, malakos kepata, a stirring to bring your light into my world, into my workplace, into my neighborhood, into my institution. I want you to pray from here. Can we pray this morning? Come on, pray this morning. Salika pronda koskepa. Shapataka ponda kepa. Shalika ponda kepata. Ronda pora pase tobalapa. Shapate palatosa. Lito pate. Shakapatebas. Can we pray? Malaka pronda kepa. Seshto prakta keposa. Malika ponda kepa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray again. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray again. Amen. I know you are all well dressed. You came for Sunday service. I want you to pray. Forget about who is standing close to you. Those things are not important. It's your destiny we're talking about. Everything you are looking for. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I can assure you that over 90% of people here know that verse. But how much of that verse are you living? Seek ye first the kingdom. That's not talking about come to church. It's part of it, but it's more than that. Seek ye first. These are the things I'm sharing. That's how to seek the kingdom. But see, there has to be, you have to be stirred. I don't like the way some of us are looking. You're looking too docile. Be stirred. We're going to pray in tongues. You stir yourself and speak words. I seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's the key to what you are looking for. What many people are looking for. He said, all these things shall be added. The millions. The comforts. In context, he said, where they sleep, what they eat, and what they shall be clothed with them. Talking about the basic things of life. Can we pray in tongues? I'm going to join your hand with your neighbor. With somebody by your side. Yeah, I know you have represented Jesus before. But there is more. There's more. You can do better. There's nobody here who is yet at his best. No, not one. You are not done. There's more to conquer. There are more people to reach. There's more impact to make, more influence. Shaka patex, lita patox, zelia topas, satepatalitas, zelakepranos, zepatelebosa, lika patebas, zepeboba, zelia topata, zepayetopa. I take responsibility for my ethnos. I take responsibility for my world. I take responsibility for my generation. Shakapalepos, Shepatevala, Shobaye Patas, Polabakapos, Shakapondekepa, Shepatepos. Shepaya topas, Shepotopa, Lepatevas, Shabatelebosa. Pray this morning, Lord, I'm available. Kayalarabos, Yalarabos, cause your fire to pour in my heart, unquenchable fire that will provoke me to good works. That will provoke me to good works. That will provoke me to good works.
Shatobalata.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this will encourage someone. Do you know that all that God needs, requires to start is one man? Oh my goodness. Maybe somebody is saying, the trouble in my world, in my echoes, am I sure I can do something? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Kalabakaya. The angel of the Lord told Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. He told him at the end of the conversation, he said, go in this and my, for you will smite the Midianite as one man. Oh, Shagabala Kapataya. As one man. As one man, yes. You have to raise a team. Gideon too had to raise a team of 300 people. Come on. But it starts with one man. That revolution in your industry, that revolution in that place, starts with one man. And man is generic. They are he men, they are she men. Start. He says, thou shall smite the Midianite as one man. The point is, how serious are you? How serious are you? Do you want to live this life just to eat food and drive car and have children and die? That will be living below expectation. There's a higher purpose. You are going to pray again. One more minute. Amen. I'm out of time, but one more minute. You pray in tongues. And Lord, and say, Lord, I am your man for my ethnos. I am your woman for my world. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you do that? Malikibus. Shepepatakosa. Lord, I'm your man for my generation. I'm your man for my world. Murabasashata. Murabasashata kapa. Munteke parun zeshtepaya. Marabante kepon zepata. Lord, I'm your man. I'm your man. I'm your man.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.